this already in? Sure, we're certain. Varsity goes on Bishop Lockham. Anyone want to start with beating Bishop Lockham? Oh, are you taping?
Yes.
What? Because of costumes, right? That's the mainstream opinion, and Rashi even says this. On Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, Shlokos is called Dovr Shlishol Akum Afilu Vitarga Chulam Shem Chaslas. However, Rashi and Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph says something funny. Rashi says Elam Midrabanan, when they include the Bishul Akum Midrabanan, Shelo Yehi Yisrael Ragel Glotz Lo Machol Mishnah. So the Jews shouldn't be used to going to eat and drink by the guy. The Achilat of Dovr Tameh, then the guy will feed and treif. You know, you get used to eating the chulin to the guy, and you're mashkiach, and you're very careful, etc. And then it turns out that he ends up feeding you pork because you let your guard down. So this is a big deal in the postgame. What the ta'am for the iser of Bishul Akum, Rashi daflamed hey amid beis, and the other rishonim say chasnus, but Rashi. And Daf Lamed Chesed and Aleph says, you'll be rugged, let's low, and Shema Ya'achilehu Dvarim Tameim. There may be an afkamina between these two reasons. Now, of course, the problem is it's a bit of a steer in Rashi. These two reasons. What? So you could say there's two different reasons to answer it, or the Gemara doesn't say either. Doesn't say anything. But the context of the Gemara, yeah, there's no obvious solution based on that. Although of course there's always room for a kiddushim. I think the Rav once said something like, the Rav liked to say everything has to, whatever the reasons that come, it has to fit into the conceptual halachic system. So they quote from the Rav that they answer because of chasnas. However, food can't be treif because of chasnas. So the way they made their gzeira is they said b'chol sheish that maybe he put in the dover tummy, even though the real reason was because of chasnas. Okay, that's a Rav special. Since Eliezer says they only answered because there were two reasons, because neither reason was so strong. Okay. Yes, because there's more of a shash, you have to say. Okay, lemaise is a big mystery. The Tzitz Eliezer actually wants to say, what does he want to say? He wants to say very clever. You know how clever the Tzitz Eliezer is? He says the only answer is because of both reasons. Therefore, if it's not chashuv enough to go al shulchan malachin, he might be trained the reason of dover tameh applied, but the reason of chasnas doesn't apply. It's not chashuv, so it's mutter. If it's Nechav Moshe Chai, edible raw, here's a bit of a stretch, then it still might be very chashuv food of chash chasnas. But the no chashuv dover tameh, if anything which you couldn't eat raw, you could tell exactly what it is, and you keep track of it, and it's very easily identifiable, even though that might fit better into a different category mentioned in the shach here. And therefore it's mutter. Okay. Yetz Lion, Harvey. I just want to point out in Akhenita. Again, in Eon and Rashi, you could say there's two different reasons, although it's funny why he listed each one separately. You could say it's only because of both reasons together. Or you could say, like the Rav, that like the reason they made the Xerah is one thing, but the way in which they made the Xerah is another thing, which the Rav loved to say all the time. Lemaisa, it's a mystery. Let's just get down to Halacha Lemaisa. Halacha Lemaisa, the first Pesach Tshuva here, brings a Nafkamina. What's a Nafkamina? The Nafkamina might be, theoretically, it's going to make everything in the Gemara Nafkamina, but it can't be, because everything in the Gemara is a din. The Nafkamina might be the question of, what about Bishul of Yisrael Mumer? Yisrael Mumer is, without getting into details, what we call nowadays a Chilani. Right? Without getting into details. A non-from Jew. What about Bishul of a non-from Jew? What?
Isn't this a
tzaddik?
Doesn't have to be like...
No, there's more relaxed and more. What about Bishul of a non-from Jew? So says the Pesach Tshuva here, he says, this should depend, according to Parashat Moshe, on this Chakira. He says, if the reason is chasnus, then the itzer should not apply. Because there's no sort of chasnus. If you want to make a shidduch for your son with the daughter of a chiloni, then as long as she agrees to be from, that's fine. Right? There's no itzer of chasnus. You just have to tell them that they have to be from. But So therefore, the yisur should not apply. However, see Prima Gadim, Reish, Simon, Kofi, and Beis, who, you know, deals with that at greater length, like, is there an yisur of chasnos with a mummer? But the simple shot is, those are chasnos with a mummer, you're allowed to marry the daughter of anyone, of any Jew, as long as she agrees to be from. However, if the issur is that they might keep you treif, then you're talking about a non-from Jew who eats treif and doesn't keep any mitzvahs of the Torah, then it's just as likely to be treif in their house as you'll be treif in a guy's house. The mice in their kitchen is a guy's kitchen. They eat treif. So then the issur should apply.
How can you make up yourself that the xer, the bishalakim, goes on Jews?
That is a great question. You might have said, it is what the Gzera is saying, it's not such a pasha nafkamina. It could be, look, the Gzera says, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim sh'ol b'kochavim. The Gzera is the Gzera. You can't start applying the reason on your own. Okay, that's a good ha'ara. But in the Maisa, what the Teferis Lemosha says, as quoted in the Pesach Tshuva here, he says it is an nafkamina, even though Gzera has a very good ha'ara. Does anyone mind if I put on the air conditioner?
It is a little warm,
yeah.
Hmm?
Okay, so Ellie's in charge of closing the window.
It definitely
have it. This morning.
What?
This morning,
okay. Just like Eretz Yisrael has all the climates within it, even one day in Eretz Yisrael has all the climates within it. It's really amazing. Okay, Lemaisa says, Halacha Lemaisa says the Teferis Lemosha. According to the Pesach Tshuva, we have to be makir like both reasons, and therefore we aser the bishul of a mummer. However, what? Not sure. Okay. However, the odds are his name was Moshe. However, Rav Avadya and Tzitz Eliezer disagree. Rav Avadya says, there's a Stephen Rashi, it doesn't make any sense. All the other Rishonim say the reason because of chasnos, we're not chumshish for the other reason. So Rav Avadya says that it's only chasnos. He says, we're chumshish for both reasons. And therefore, in a non-from Jew, the reason of the Dover Tomei might apply, and it's usher. However, Rav Avadya says, no! All the Rishonim say chastos, and even Rashi is so sure of himself, so how much can you rely on him? You don't really know what he meant. And therefore, it's no problem, because no isser chastos. And since Eliezer says, it's a big fish, it's only usher if both reasons apply. That's a period Rashi, that according to Rashi, Rashi's not being makar and saying there's two certain. He's being makel and saying it's only usher if there are two things wrong with it. If there's one thing wrong with it, it's beseder. And therefore, since both reasons don't apply, if both reasons apply, you know, simultaneously. Like if a regular going course. But they wouldn't have made it zero because of one reason, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, some of the Mahadran Hashdachos are choshish for the Teferis Lemoshe. Halacha l'maisa, some of the Mahadran Hashgachos are choshes a little or more so for various lemoshe that require bishul of a shomer Shabbos, so it won't be a mummer. However, the din is like Rav Avadya and the Tzitz Eliezer that you're allowed to eat bishul of a non-form Jew. Goes A, Rav Avadya says the ikar reason is chasnos doesn't apply, or maybe it's only usher if there's a problem of chasnos and another problem. Also, Zev has a good point, but I haven't seen this in the poskim. Maybe what they were going to think. Mishnah says, "Olde v'chavim," and we shouldn't expand it beyond what it says.
According to the Tzitz Eliezer, or whatever the reason, both should apply. So, if a non from Jew married out has kids who are goyim, then
that's a good ha'ara. I don't know. It's a good ha'ara. All right. Well, Maisa, since Bishlaka was only drabban and there's no ikur in the Torah, there's a lot of room to be making machlokas in these things. Anyway, so you will see some people who are makar for bishul of shomer Shabbos Yidden, but the mainstream halacha is to be made here. Now let's get back to the details. Dovr shein anachu k'mo shu chai. Just make sure we get everything down together. All at once. What we had last time. So here we have the heter of, I don't remember our let's call it A, necho kemo shehu chai. Anything edible raw is exempt from bishul akum. Let's review some of the details of this. What's called edible raw? What's called inedible raw? So one detail that comes up is the next step of Shulchan Aruch. What if you make a concoction? You mix something edible raw with something not edible raw. Okay, this was the mefurish in the Gemara. They had something made of like a kind of fish, which was already edible, and flour, which was not. And it depends which is the ikker. If it's a mixture, you go by the ikker. So here are, what are some of the details here. Details. One, if you have a mixture, then you go by the ikker. What do we mean ikker here? We don't mean anything to do with Hilchos Harovis. We don't mean physical rov. We mean ikker and Hilchos Rovos. That's clear in the Gemara. Because the Gemara you hear is the question of mixing flour and other ingredients for Bishul Akum to the question of, well, the Gemara seems to at least compare. The Achronim assume to the question of how flour and other ingredients go together in Hilchas Brachos, where we know the flour wins. So that's a Homer and Bishul Akum, because flour is not edible raw. So if you mix with flour and other ingredients, even if the flour is a minority, but since it's Mizonos and the flour is the Iker, so it has an Isser of Bishul Akum. Assuming the flour is the Iker, not the bouquet or etc. This is the basis of the first Marsha says, Shtiyas Coffee, the coffee houser. Again, he's talking about not milk, black coffee, without getting into issues of Chol Avakum. It's Mutter. He quotes it from the Bir Asek, I think, who says, you know why? Because what do we say on coffee? There might be other reasons also, but the reason the Bir Asek is, do we say Ha'etz, because coffee grows on a tree? Or do we say Shahakol, because water comes from a stream? We say Shahakol, because the water comes from a stream. And the coffee is only a tam in the water. And therefore, there's no problem with Bishul Akum and coffee. You can get coffee at a goyish kiosk someplace.
Even if it's made
of milk based. You still have black coffee.
No, but I'm not saying even that they're cooking up the milk.
What? Oh, cooking milk is no problem because milk is edible raw. I wonder if you can drink raw milk. It's against the health regulations. But it's perfectly drinkable. I mentioned, right? You have to be careful not to call people crazy when you're on the internet. So what I mean is, the people with a certain granola type hashgafa, they're even vidavka like to drink raw milk. And Hashem should save them for all diseases. I've been asking for good health vidavka from their kids.
If you only brew the coffee and you add the water, that'll be usher?
Mm-hmm.
If the guy only brews the actual coffee,
and then you add the water, that would be awesome. You can't brew actual coffee.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
It only gives time to water.
No liquid comes out of coffee. Okay, anyway, so if it's aromas, you go by the ikker, which could sometimes be a chumra, sometimes be a kula. I will leave some space here. For a hara. Let's just fill in some other. You know what? Why leave some space? I will point out. I hope you don't mind if I jump around a little, right? We just did the mechaber and beis. Let's look at the mechaber and gimel. Panada she'afa obi kochavim asura. A meat pie. What do they call now? Shepherd's pie in the calf. They still serve shepherd's pie in the calf.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do, okay. A meat pie, that's what they used to eat in those days, meat pie, right? You know, pashtida, we mentioned this a few times, right? When they talk about pashtida, next year in Hilchos Shabbos, also pashtida, they don't mean kugel, they mean a meat pie. So this p'nada shafa over kochavim, asura, afil mishanoi heter pasal over kochavim. The meat pie is also even for someone who's makel and pas akum. Why? Hold on. In a meat pie, what bracha do you make on shepherd's pie? Mizonos or shahakol?
Mizonos.
Why? Because the mizonos is always the ikker. Right? I don't care what costs more. You know, there's a halach, the mizonos is the ikker. So why is it usher? So here he makes a very important distinction, which he said in Kofi Beit also, but I don't know. I think we're going to skip that part. He says, why? Mipnei, don't say, well, the ikker is the bread. It's pasakum. No. Mipnei she'ashuma naser k'shehu be'en. Because the shuman inside me, the meat fat inside, I guess they would make it sometimes with meat, or if you're poor, you just make it with meat fat. Nesek shu be'en, shu b'shul l'kavim. It gets usher when it's be'en because of bishul akum. Meaning there's two kinds of mixtures. There's a mixture of two things that you mamish mix together and they form one mass. And then there's a mixture of different layers. You put one thing on top and one thing on the bottom. Here in the meat pie, you put the bread on the bottom and the meat on top. So then, you don't go by the ikker. The bread is a separate layer and the meat is a separate layer. And therefore, the meat layer becomes usher because of bishul akum is a separate layer. Meaning, if you could just cut it in half and separate the two layers, then you don't go by the ikker. What's mutter is mutter, what's usher is usher. I know here he's talking about the heter of pas, not the heter of nechel and shuchai. Therefore, I'm assuming the same reply. V'nivla v'pas, and then what happens? First, the meat part becomes usher to its be'en, and then it goes back and gets absorbed into the bread. Chen yirakos and nechel and chayim. Here's the case: nechel and shuchai. Shavish and basar. Assume they shashum and shabasar. Nivla v'hem. Likewise, if you cook carrots with meat, carrots are edible raw. Lukuliyala, right? You cook carrots with meat. Then you don't go by ikker. Why? Because the carrots are separate, the meat are separate. If you grind up the carrots and the meat and make kishka, then that would be a different story. But if you have separate carrots, separate meat, then the meat is bishul akum, the carrots aren't bishul akum. But then what happens? Once the meat is bishul akum, because it's separately, now the shuma of the meat goes into the carrots and makes the carrots bishul akum also. So we say that this is true if it's a blended mixture. But two separate layers or pieces cooked together, then you don't go by ikker and tuffel view, two separate layers or two separate pieces. For example, in pizza, you would ask, is pizza bishul akum, is pizza not bishul akum? You wouldn't say, well, the ikker is the dough, and dough is pas, and we're make one palter, so it's no problem. You would say, no, the dough is a separate layer from the cheese and the tomato sauce. So it would still be mutter. But you'd have to say the dough is mutter because we're making pas palter. The tomato sauce and cheese is mutter. Why? Because definitely everyone knows you can eat raw cheese and you can eat raw tomatoes. So it's taka okay, but not because you go by the ikker. So when there's separate layers, you don't go by the ikker, and that's why. If you would have and we have all the examples here already, I guess. but if you have a meat pie or one of the other examples, you have we'll get into a bit of a machlokus about this, but. I can't even think of any great examples. Okay, Kreplach. But you get the principle.
Kreplach?
Kreplach is tricky because it might all be bishul akum, right. Because the ikar din we hold like the other Rishonim against Rabbeinu Tam that's in Kreplach are cooked and not baked, so therefore they're top shelf. So Kreplach are for sure also. Okay, so what happens if two separate layers cook together? Then what happens is, first, the item that is subject to bishul akum becomes treif. Then that item makes the other item treif also. Okay, without getting into exactly the sheer bittul and the sheer of tarubas, which Akum will come back to. So basically, what the Mechaber says is if gimel is a big chumrah, if you combine two things, one subject to Bishul Akum, one not subject to Bishul Akum, if they're mamish blended together, then you go by the ikker. If they're mamish, like, let's say you make a carrot kugel, and it also has flour. So in a carrot kugel, the flour might be, I don't know, I never made carrot kugel, I'm going on a limb here. Let's assume, don't try this at home. You make carrot kugel and you only put in a little flour to make it stick together. Then the carrots would be the ikker, not the flour, and if a guy baked it, we know probably bishul akum because you eat raw carrots. However, if you made a carrot kugel and know it was more of a cake-like carrot kugel where the flour is really the ikker for the taste, then it was more like carrot bread or banana bread, you make banana bread, and even though bananas are eaten raw, and even if you put in more bananas than flour, clearly the flour is the ichor. That's also tricky. That might be pass. Okay. I'm not going to get into the examples. Okay, but basically, if you combine two things mamish, you go by the ikar. If you have two separate layers, then, and one is subject to mishalach and one isn't, they end up both treif. Why? Because first you look at them separately, and the one that's subject to mishalach becomes treif. Then, once it's treif, it makes the other one treif also.
If our standard for mixture is ikar in regards to bracha, then why don't we look at the whole sugya in regards through the lens of ikar with bracha?
No, only once they're blended together, then our standard is ikar with regards to bracha. But if they're not blended together, then even though there's ikar and tafel in that case, and those brachas also, we don't care.
Coffee is also said that the look when people drink coffee, and there's all the coffee left. So that shows that the coffee is separate.
Aha, that is a good point, except for the fact that you don't actually eat the coffee. Right, meaning the actual coffee grinds are not raw for anything, so I don't know if you could say they become bishalakum. You can't eat them at all. They're not even edible.
What happens if the goy, for instance, cooks something, let's say meat, but you don't use it as is, rather than you blend it real time?
No, once it becomes usher. Once it's usher, it's usher.
Is coffee cooked?
What?
Is coffee cooked?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, which is, says, aren't the coffee beans, well, aren't the coffee beans? No, all our coffee beans, by the time we buy them, are roasted before we get them. So shouldn't be us or to the guy who roasted the coffee beans before we even got them? So the answer, right? All our coffee is cooked already. Why is it us or because he roasted it first? So the answer probably is that when he roasted it first, he didn't make it edible. It still was not edible, so if you cook and it doesn't become edible, then that can't be bishalakum. Basically, you can never eat coffee. You can only put the time of coffee into water.
So what does the Gilead Marasha say? Because when you add the water to it, it makes the coffee.
Now you have a tarobis, which is good to drink. But it doesn't matter, because the water is the ikar. I mean, it's not even ikar tubble, it's really tama biyama. Okay, so now, that's very important. This comes up also, we'll come back to it, it'll be very important. Simon Kofiud Beis, in the case of a bread glazed with eggs, where the Rambam was machmer, that's just separate layers, even though the bread is not a problem because it's paspalter, but the eggs wouldn't be a problem because the eggs are a tapshal. We'll come back to that in a moment.
Two layers
of
inset.
That's a good question. It's a good question exactly.
She comes up with the pizza.
You're right. That is a good question. It's hard to tell exactly what Matthias he meant and what type of dish they had in those days. So I admit to being a little confused about that. Okay, second issue. Ready? What about something that is not edible raw by itself, but it is edible raw? But is edible raw, you know, in a sandwich, etc. Again, I don't mean it's edible raw if you sprinkle a little on something. Everything's edible raw if you're mevatel with the elef. I mean, it's not that ridiculous, the ginger, right? It's not edible raw by itself, but it's edible raw if you make a ginger sandwich with whatever else they used to use. So here, the Gilead Marasha, the second one, quoted the Magen Avraham and wrote poskim, or like sushi, right? The fish in sushi is not edible raw by itself, although some people do eat sashimi. Okay, but let's just say most people wouldn't eat the fish by itself, but they'll eat it with the rice. Again, I don't mean they'll eat it if they don't notice it. Like, you could take anything and grind up a little, stick it in someone's cereal, and they won't notice they'll eat it. I mean, it's an important part, like the chashav dish that has this raw thing together with other things makes it a delicious dish. So here, says the Gilead Marasha, Magen Avraham, quoted by the Gilead Marasha here, and wrote poskim, all say that it is mutter. Okay, next detail we discussed was the issue of the pears. What if this type of food is generally ne'achal chai, but this particular specimen is not. Right? That's what he talks about, right? You have, like, the hard pears and things like that. Sometimes they're fruits. You get the beginning of the season, the end of the season, not fully ripe. And these, everyone knows apples are edible raw, but there might be some apples that aren't edible raw because they're too overripe or underripe or whatever the case may be. So do you go by the general type or do you go by the specific item? And here the Gilgamesh Maharsha says that it depends on the specific item. That it depends on the specific item, that even if 99% of pears are edible raw, but if you're in the beginning of the season and the pears are not edible raw, you have to cook them into compote because they're not ripe yet, then those pears would have a problem of bishlakum.
And the Bade Ashulchan is?
What?
And the Bade Ashulchan is Meika?
Did I say that?
I'm pretty sure I had written down the other way around. That's what I was asking.
I thought I'd put him with the number 2. Okay. Lemaisa, so some of the guys helped me do some research around sushi. So why is it all fish? Not all fish. They don't make sushi out of all fish. But they do make sushi out of salmon and tuna and what else?
Yellowtail.
And yellowtail?
Whitefish.
And white, really? They make whitefish sushi? Okay. So basically, a lot of the kind of fish that we eat, maybe they should all be no problem bishlakum whatsoever. Because let's say you have a fish restaurant. It should be perfectly fine to have guy work in the kitchen, do all the work by themselves, and no problem. Because now we eat them all raw, like they sushi. So someone showed me from all the different kosher organizations, the CRC was the best, all the kosher organizations were not willing to be makel. They didn't say it's usser, but they weren't willing to be makel. So the CRC has the most reasons. They say 3 reasons. Number 1, maybe most people wouldn't eat sushi. And therefore, it's not really edible raw. That's a weak reason. The number 2, I mean, among Orthodox Jews, I don't know. I don't know who they're counting. Maybe the hillbillies in Appalachian Mountains don't eat sushi, but I don't know if that's relevant to New Yorkers. I assume guys in New York also eat sushi, no? Okay. So their second reason was, well, maybe you don't eat raw fish stam. You only eat it together with rice, so that's not edible raw. The problem is, that's against this Gilgamesh Maharsha. The Gilgamesh Maharsha is not just the Gilgamesh Maharsha, it's called a mug of raw, and all the Achronim agree. So, you know, they say, well...
some people do eat it.
And not to mention that some people eat stam sashimi, but even if you say, well, most people would be afraid to eat sashimi. They think it was a little weird. But still, it's a chashuv part. The fish is just as important part of the sushi as the ginger is of the sandwich, right? It's not like the fish is some like thing they sneak into the sushi and don't notice. The inner reason people buy the sushi is for the fish, right? The if you eat vegetarian sushi, then you're like I don't know, you're not a giver. The best part. I don't eat vegetarian sushi, not because I want to preserve my reputation as a getter. But just because, like, what's the point? You have rice with vegetables, you could have that any time. The hakapa, the sushi, is the fish. So it's hard to say that it's not edible raw just as with rice. Like, it's very equivalent to ginger sandwich. There's a lot of sandwich, but the ginger is, like, the ikker part of the sandwich. Here, I don't necessarily mean hovas brachos. That's a good question. But clearly the fish is considered an ikker part of the sushi. The third reason they had was the best reason. They said you could only make sushi out of very fresh fish. Has to be super fresh. Rove fish that people serve and eat is not super fresh. It's not spoiled, but it's acceptably fresh. If you go to a restaurant, they give you fish that's acceptably fresh. They don't give you fish that's sushi grade. Sushi grade is a high standard of freshness. So it could be it's like the pears in the Maharsha. Even if sushi fish has no Isser Bishlakum, they would take sushi grade fish and put it on a grill and grill it for you. There would be no problem Bishlakum. But since stam fish is not sushi grade, therefore it's not edible raw. Because you can't eat it raw, because it's not sushi grade. And that's why it's like the pears that are hard, and that's why there's still an Isser Bishlakum in fish. That was the best of their 3 tainas as to why we shouldn't be makel in fish. It's still not a pasha taina, because first of all, I'm sure there's a lot of like wiggle room in between where like there are regulations to be on the safe side, but I'm sure it would be just fine. Also, I'm sure the sushi would taste just fine even if it wasn't sushi grade. I'm not sure. Perhaps the sushi would taste fine anyway. It's just that they're afraid of bacteria and like 1 out of 100 people would get sick. But that doesn't make it not edible. That just means that it's not good advice in terms of health. It still might taste good. So
does that mean that would make an additional kula perhaps by like the tuna fish? Like
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It really seems that no one wants to be Mako and say fish don't have bishulakram nowadays, because it's, right? Again, it used, when I was a kid, only Japanese people ate sushi. So we didn't live in Japan, so it's not halacha shayla. Japanese people don't affect the halacha in Yerushalayim or New York. But now that everyone eats sushi, no one wants to be the reform rabbi who says nowadays it's mutter to go and cook your fish. So we look for reasons to be machmer on it, and you know, we try to find a reason. The best of the three reasons I saw to be machmer on it is that maybe the freshness of fish they used would not have been good for sushi. Even though that's not the strongest reason in the world. So halacha l'maisa, it really seems to me there's a lot of room to be makel nowadays with bishul akum of fish. However, the minhag of the poskim and the kashrus organization seems to be that they don't want to be too radical, and therefore they keep being makhram bishul akum of fish. So al pi din, it's a stretch to be makhram bishul akum of fish nowadays in our current culinary climate. But it seems to be the minhag of the kashrus organizations that since when I was born, fish had bishul akum, so we still assume bishul akum applies to fish, so I'm not going to be the first one to matter. But if you're stuck, then b'di'eved, I think there's all that one can be makel.
You would not be b'di'eved. Okay.
Okay, I think b'di'eved one can be makel. You know, because these svaras are tricky. But I don't know, maybe someone should do a lot more research and figure out exactly what kind of fish is used for what. But anyway, it seems to be like, basically, like it's just a chomer v'alma that people don't want to be too radical. Okay, tzarchim. Now, some other issues we will deal with, which will come up later, are, what about if something is edible raw via processing? Meaning, it's not edible raw as is. But if you do something else to it other than cooking, it will be edible raw. Like, there are things that are edible raw, but if you salt them, they're edible raw. Obviously, I don't mean if you cook them. That's not raw. They're edible raw if they're salted, they're edible raw if they're this, they're edible raw if they're that, but they're not edible raw stam. What's the din? That will come up later. And the other thing that will come up later is, what about if something is nechal kimo shehu chai al yedei hadchak? What if something is edible, kimo shehu chai, but al yedei hadchak, it's barely edible raw? Right? There are things that are edible raw, but vikoshi. Again, I don't mean like sushi. People pay money to buy sushi. There are things that are edible raw. What does that mean? You could eat them raw if you were really hungry and you had to, or you were in some awkward social situation. You know, you went to like the house of some foreigner, and you know, you went to some Native American thing, and they'd be very insulted if you didn't eat them raw, whatever. Let's assume it's kosher. And so you would hold your nose and eat it raw. It would be edible. But you wouldn't normally go, right, you wouldn't like choose to eat it raw, like given your chashis. But if you were stuck, you could.
What about eggs?
So perhaps eggs would be in that situation. You know, the chazanim will eat raw eggs to line their throats, and it's not the end of the world. But no one in their right mind would, like, do that for food. So, what?
I do not.
Rocky?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm the one who's supposed to know Rocky, not you.
Before I was two.
Right. No, I don't mean age-wise. You were too young when Rocky came out. But anyway, I probably remember Rocky when he came out, but first time I've forgotten it since then. So I don't know when he used to drink eggs. Eat raw eggs.
Yeah, like the bodybuilders and stuff.
Oh, the bodybuilders would eat raw eggs.
Dude, they would drink it down. It's like
okay.
Protein.
So, okay, we'll get to that. That will be before Sif later on. I mean, I think you guys probably believe me anyway, but... I will tell you, these are all Se'ifim Yud Beis to Tesvav. Okay, let's leave it for now and move on. Yes?
We're going to leave
Okay, yeah, 4 and 5 we're going to leave for now.
Yeah.
Let's go to B. B is, of course, a no'ole al shulchan melachim. Right? Anything not fit for a king's table. Now again, what's the reason behind this? Most people say the reason behind this is, even though there's a bit of a stretch in terms of the application between why they made the rule and how we apply it technically, is because of chaskos. If something's edible raw, it's not such a big deal to cook it, so it doesn't bring us very close together. But if something's not edible raw and you cook it, that's already a big tova, so it brings us close together. Like a shulchan lachin, if you make me inferior food, then it doesn't bring us close together. Okay, maybe they're assuming people are very respectable people. But if you make me good food, then it brings us close together. Everyone knows that if you really want to, you know, if you're having the perfect of a chatanim over, You feed him food, that's good for Shulchan Malachim, right? Because you want to make a good impression and you want to have chasnas. You don't feed them, you know, breakfast cereal. You don't feed them potato chips. And you don't feed them bisli. Even though bisli is not edible raw, right? It's made of oil with a little flour. But obviously, you wouldn't put that in Shulchan Malachim. Okay, so the idea is chasnas, even though you could say no, two working class people maybe share an inferior food, but that's not the main case Chazal were worried. They don't worry about real, like going over for dinner and having a nice time. And for that, you need good food, and they define good food, maybe be a little naked, because we'll use Rabbanan, by Olal Shulchan Malachim, even though we're not Olal Malachim. Okay, again, what Shulchan Malachim means, so some people call Buckingham Palace, they call the White House, some people say, you know what, a good rule of thumb is what you serve at a chasna. For sure, if you wouldn't serve it as a chasna, it's hard to call it Olal Shulchan Malachim. And all the modern-day kosher agencies say, Shulchan Malachim doesn't mean what Barack Obama or even Queen Elizabeth, even Queen Elizabeth eats for breakfast when she wakes up in the morning and has a little breakfast. That's not a, even though she eats it on the table, that's a Shulchan. Shulchan Malachim means a formal Shulchan Malachim. Means if she, you know, if she would have a breakfast, I don't know if she would ever do this, but if she would have a breakfast with kings and queens and prime ministers in order to discuss the Iran crisis together, or no, they don't discuss things, in order to just have a photo op, she would not serve them Cheerios. I assume she would serve them fancier food that would be mechabi then. So, the Olal Shulchan Malachim. Now we have to discuss a few details about Olal Shulchan Malachim. Number one is, the Gemara says, and I understand there'll always be borderline cases, and for that, there's no point going through every borderline case. If there's a borderline case, then you need to ask some posek, some big posek, and figure out exactly how to draw the line. But there are cases that are obvious to us. Right? It's obvious to all of us that bisli and potato chips and porridge don't go on Shulchan Malachim. It's obvious to all of us that chicken and meat and fish do go on Shulchan Malachim. I understand there's a lot of in between. Now, first of all, what does it mean to go on Shulchan Malachim? For what course? So says the Shulchan Aruch, back to Sif Aleph, Dabar Shein Enachem Hoshu Chai V'gam Ola Shulchan Malachim L'Lafis Bo Sapas Ola Parperis. The Gemara says L'Lafis Bo Sapas to accompany the bread. Accompanying the bread is what we would call, now if someone really wants to be maker, they could say, well, nowadays we don't accompany bread with anything, so, nah. Accompanying bread is what we call the main course. That's what's called the company. That's the equivalent in our day and age, the main course. Right? Meaning, if someone serves steak with rice, steak and rice are Olal Shulchan Malachim L'Lafis Bo Sapas, because that's the main course. Right? And even though rice is not expensive, right? And like peasants who live on 30 cents a day in Japan eat rice, it doesn't matter. It might be cheap, but it's a chashuv food that I assume at state dinners they would serve meat with rice. That is, or with green beans or whatever. That is a L'Lafis Bo Sapas. You don't think they would serve rice? And what are they serve for side dishes? Funny about they have their side dishes, no? Right. Side dishes is starch, no? Yeah. They have to have a starch, but no one eats starch?
Yeah.
Then how are all the girls so fat?
But they're inferior and, you know, kind of starches than that.
Could be. Okay, sorry.
Potatoes, maybe.
I assume these are potatoes also fucking in palace. You need the starch. Okay, but what does the Mechaber add from the Rambam? He adds parperis. What's a parperis in modern day cultural terminology? Not a main course, but an appetizer. Or in Yiddish, a vorspeis. It's an appetizer. Parperis is an appetizer. Dover shemegaris hatayavon. Literally, appetizer. It adds your appetite. Nowadays, we've forgotten that the purpose of an appetizer is to add to your appetite because we live in a different culture, but you see it already in the words. So the Rambam adds, a papyrus also counts. So, not everyone agrees. Taka, the Prichadash, wants the Paskin against the Rambam, not your papyrus. But, Lamaisa, we assume, so number one, the question is, which course? So the main course is Usher. The appetizer. We also paskin is usher, like the Rambam, the Mechaber against the Prichadash. Everyone agrees with the Mechaber here. However, what does this come to exclude? Pashas, this excludes desserts. Desserts are not a main course and are not an appetizer. That's kinu achsuda. Right? Now, I don't know how many dessert foods are cooked anyway. Most of them are either cakes, which are pas, or are things which are not cooked, or if they're cooked, they're just pasteurized, like ice cream and stuff, but they're edible raw. But theoretically, you could have compote. No, that's edible raw, usually. If you have, I'm sure they have fancy desserts. We assume that desserts are not. Also, this is the Bade Shulcha, whenever I say Bade Shulcha, I mean Chalkas Ben Yami. I just assume Brakra Dabula. He quotes from all the Achronim. He quotes from all the Achronim that a dressing of a parperis, like a tofel to a parperis or a malachdus of pas, is not kosher enough to be bishul akum. Like if something goes on the king's table, but not to eat as a main course, or as a side dish, or as an appetizer, just to dress the appetizer or the side dish, then that's not called the lachdus bos pas. That's not called love. Therefore, they assume, let's say, croutons. You don't eat croutons. You might put them in the salad, or like soup nuts. You might put them in the soup. Soup is a little shulchan malachim. I assume in Buckingham Palace they serve soup. Decent soup. Probably most soup. They probably serve most soups. All soups, I think, are chashiv. What?
Or in the chicken
soup. I don't think they serve chicken soup. Why is that only Jewish thing? Eat chicken soup? I don't know, okay. Whatever. The lemaisa, but what if you have those yellow thing called the soup nuts? The soup nuts, they might go on the Shulchan Malachim, but they're not a course in the Shulchan Malachim. They're just give a little crunch to the soup. What if you have a salad dressing? Again, most salad dressings are made of things that are edible raw, etc. You don't do salad dressing, but you would serve a salad. And the salad goes with salad dressing. Then, if it's just tafel, that's not considered olal shulchan lachem. If it's just a spice or a dressing of something else of the real food on shulchan lachem, and therefore that's why they're making some things such as when they have soup nuts and croutons and stuff, they assume it's not a problem because it's not something you serve on at a dish on shulchan lachem. It's just something you use to dress a dish on the shulchan lachem, and that's not chashuv enough. So if you have a dessert, we normally assume would be mutter, and likewise a dressing or condiment or soup nuts, etc. is also mutter. The getter is davar tafel le davar shem melafes bo es hapas. Only parperis. Something that is you wouldn't be malachas the pas. You wouldn't put it in the main course. And you wouldn't put it as an appetizer. But you would add it to add a little spice or taste to the paris. That's also not a problem of old shulchan malachim. And that's why, for example, I think in the OU, they let the soup nuts, they have to go and cook the soup nuts. Because you don't eat soup nuts as part of the meal. You eat soup as part of the meal, and the soup nuts just go with the soup. That would be one example. There are some other examples also.
On the category of pas from anyway?
No, because I don't know how they make soup nuts exactly, but since it's not baked, it's cooked. Meaning, stamp soup nuts are deep fried. Deep frying is cooking.
So it's not like soup
kanyan? No, so soup kanyan is machlokes rishonim, but okay, without getting into that, that's machlokes you remain in time and the other. I mean, chilosos iso, sofos sofkinen, which is chayav, many Rishonim say that means if you intended to bake it and change your mind and cooked it and deep fried it. But here they intended to deep fry it all along, so it would be potter regala, so it wouldn't be pas. And also, I don't know if it's blila abba raka, I don't know how to make soup nuts, so don't ask me questions on soup nuts. But al pipashtus, the mainstream sock would be, meaning if you had a whole meal of soup nuts, I think they would tell you to say ala mechia mezonos.
But if you this cooked.
Yeah, deep frying is cooking. Deep frying halachically is the same as cooking in water. If you put it inside, submerge it in a liquid and cook it, I don't care if you call it deep frying in oil or cooking in water, that's considered bishul, the kol davar v'inyan for Hilchos Shabbos, etc. Yes, absolutely means there's no chash to put soup nuts in your soup on Shabbos according to any shita because they're already cooked. Deep frying is cooking. Okay, now, one of the other big questions that comes up. When it comes to the other big question, because I'm sure, again, we're going to draw the line. For example, French fries is a big discussion. Without getting to the next thing we're about to say, French fries olal shulchan malachim. So I think a lot of the kashrus agencies assume no, French fries are for eating at a ball game. French fries are for putting on the kids' table in a chasa. But French fries aren't like a hush of food. Like, it's a snack food. In England, it's even a working class food. No fish and chips? Or is that only with fish it's working class?
Yeah,
it's not. It's not, yeah. So, okay, so French fries, they are, they people are making. The big issue that comes up, yes?
So even though, like, in like very fancy restaurants, if you get a steak, your side is
a big deal. It's a good question, because in a steakia, in an expensive steakia, even they could serve you French fries, right? Meaning they have to be snooty to not serve French fries. Right, in a snooty place, they wouldn't serve French fries. But that's it could be that, again, I don't know how to make these calls. But I know that I've seen that some of the kashrut organizations assume that since snooty places won't serve French fries, then that's not considered olal shulchan malacha. But I admit, a lot of these things are not borderline, but a lot of these things are borderline. Here's the big question. What about something that, as it stands now, is not olal shulchan malacha, but if it was fancy enough properly, would be olal shulchan malacha? Right? So what about something which...
That's like starches, right?
Meaning like all the starches. Like, for example, what if I make macaroni and cheese? What if I stop? I make my kids spaghetti. A pot of spaghetti. Would they buy me a pound so they serve a pot of spaghetti? No! They might take spaghetti and add garnish it with this and dress it with that and put in some other ingredients. And then it would be chosher. It would be a pasta dish. They might serve a pasta dish. But you wouldn't serve plain spaghetti. So what about that case? What if something needs to be dressed up a little? So, a few people asked me this article from the RJJ Journal, which is all about this issue, about like what if something like as it is now you wouldn't serve a shulchan malachim, but in a different form you would, right? So what about something which is ole al shulchan malachim al yidei tikkun? Meaning, you'd have to fancy it up a little to serve it on the Shulchan Malachim. This is a plain form, but it's not a different food. It's not like a different food. It's the same food, but you have to fix it up to be Olo Shulchan Malachim. So he quotes here that pretty much all the postim agree to the psak of the Chesed L'Avraham. I'm just finding the page. Here we are. The Chesed L'Avraham says the Chesed L'Avraham. And the poskim that
are you reading it now without the shiklul?
Improve it to be ola, then it is aser. So, for example, if you have pashut spaghetti, which you would never serve in shulchan malachim. But you can make a pasta dish by just adding the right, putting together with the right ingredients. Then that would be called olal shulchan malachim, because it is olal shulchan malachim. It just needs to be fancied up and to be accompanied by the right things. One of the interesting rayas he brings, although one could question this, is he says, we see later on, I'm sorry, give me a second, according to Machaber, if a goy cooks something kamachal ben yursai, if a goy cooked a steak kamachal ben yursai, it's usher. Even if then you took it off the fire. Ah, it's not olal shulchan malachim, it's only cooked kamachal ben yursai. Could you go to the Buckingham Palace and expect half-cooked meat? So the answer is, no, you just finished cooking it, and then it's olal shulchan malachim. It has within it the potential to go on the shulchan malachim. You just have to finish it up. That's still considered vishal akam. You don't have to agree. That's the psak of the chesed of Ram and Rove Poskim.
Which case? When he fixed it or
he
didn't fix it?
Even if he didn't yet. As long as you could serve it otherwise, all pastas, not olal shulchan malachim, because you wouldn't serve it that way in shulchan malachim.
There's no logic behind that. Okay. Why should he ask?
Okay, so that's what he assumes. So let's say something undercooked. Doesn't matter, so you could cook a little more, if you could. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
It's not the same thing.
Okay, you're right, it's not the same thing. But the Chesed Avraham expands and says, even if you need to fancy it up, he doesn't mean grind it up and start from scratch. He just means you need to add the right garnishings to serve it on shulchan malachim. Like, let's say you have pasta. You could serve pasta on shulchan malachim with, I assume in Italy, that's all they eat is spaghetti on shulchan malachim. And even Barack Obama, I assume, his chefs know how to serve spaghetti with all kinds of things that it looks very fancy. That's why we assume, halach l'maisa, we assume pasta as an isser of olal shulchan malachim, has an isser of vishal akum, because if you just fancied it up, it would be a good side dish in shulchan malachim.
even though, I mean, it has the same raw ingredients, but it doesn't, it probably wouldn't even have the same name. Like, and it's got, and it has different
names. I don't know, like, it's a good question. I mean, like, is there anything you can add to macaroni to serve it on Shulchan Aruch? It's a good question. I don't know, I'm not as big a bucky. The main shumina ga'olam is to assume that pasta needs Jewish cooking. Again, we're not talking about the factory. In the factory, pasta's not cooked. You buy it raw in the supermarket. We're talking about after you buy it. They take wheat, they mix it with water, and they make it into shapes and let it dry. It's just dried, raw wheat and water. It's not cooked at all. Meaning, there's no Bishul Akum or Bishul Yisrael in the pasta factory. Pasta is raw. But when you buy it, you can't let your housekeeper cook pasta, we assume, because pasta, if you added the right fancy other ingredients, would be fit for Shulchan Aruch. Okay, you can judge. Yesh la'ayin, I'm just telling you what most people that I've met assume.
Now, the potatoes are the same thing? Because potatoes need more than pasta.
I don't know. You wouldn't serve baked potato to Buckingham Palace with a steak?
Yeah.
What?
Salt a little.
You're not working. What? Put a little butter. Buckingham Palace, you can put butter on the baked potato with the steak, right? Put a little butter, put a little spices.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
I think so. Not a million.
I don't know. Again, you see how these things are borderline. Lamaisa, we assume that a baked potato is a problem, Bishul Akum. You can't tell your guy's housekeeper could make me a baked potato. Because maybe they would serve it on bish, or they would serve it in a fancy plate with a fancy sauce, but maybe they would. I don't know. You have to call Buckingham Palace and ask them. The real, the worldwide kashrus agencies all have, like, contacts in Buckingham Palace or the White House or these places that they consult with. Now, here's the big question. Here is the big chumrah. This fellow who wrote this article invents a big chumrah. He doesn't really invent a big chumrah. He finds, like, a number of modern-day postmodern who agree with this big chumrah. What's his big chumrah? His big chumrah is this. What about if, here's case 2.1. What about a food which is not oleh, but, or we'll call this three, what's the difference? Not oleh, but a different form of this food is oleh. What if food, it's not Olah Shulchan Aruch, but a different form of this food is Olah Shulchan Aruch. Now you see why he wants to ask for potato chips, right? Potato chips are not Olah Shulchan Aruch, but baked potatoes are Olah Shulchan Aruch, bon agit, for the sake of argument, right? So what if a different form of the food would be Olah Shulchan Aruch? It seems Pashup shot all over the Shulchan Aruch that's mutter. However, he quotes, he heard from Yaakov Kamenetsky, he wanted to answer this based on Simin Kuf Yud Beis. I think we actually might have read this. Se'if, where was that? Half a second, I apologize. Se'if Vav. Says the Rama, Yesh Osher Mepasha Beitzim Tukum Alpanam Neshehin Be'en, Be'en Betel Megami Pas, Yesh Mishum Mishlako. Some people ask for bread schmear with eggs. You might have meant the big schmearing, because the eggs are be'en, and the eggs have an extra Bishul Akum. So, says, but the thin layer of eggs on the bread is not Olah Shulchan Aruch. So how can it be Osher? Must be because other eggs are Olah Shulchan Aruch, so too is this. It's a very weak taina. All the Achronim say, no, on the bread it's Olah Shulchan Aruch, what's the problem? Right? A thin layer of egg that you cut off the bread wouldn't be, but when you glaze it on the bread, it's a very fancy bread, fit for Malachim. But that's a big finish. So, there's the mainstream Shita, Rav Poskim, say mutter. Rav Poskim saying mutter. I don't care if potatoes are Olah Shulchan Malachim, potato chips are not Olah Shulchan Malachim. I don't care if, find some other example of things that are Ola al Shulchan Aruch.
Hamburgers.
What?
Meat, but no substitute.
I don't care if steak is Ola al Shulchan Aruch. Are hamburgers Ola al Shulchan Aruch? Does Malachim eat hamburgers?
You wouldn't serve it at a chasana. No.
What?
When did they ever have hamburgers?
Yeah, that's not the shulchan. There's no shulchan. That's the point of shmur. There's no shulchan. That's not a shulchan. That's a tish. Yeah. So it's an interesting question. On meat products, people are very, the kosher agencies are very reluctant to be makel, but that would be, that should be another good example. Hot dogs, right? Right? So it's interesting, like, I mean, I have the OU here. I got a copy of their master list of every item, whether they're makbid or not. And when it comes to meat items, they're very reluctant to be makel. Well, I'm not exactly sure why.
Are any of these things related to the idea that, you know, we might be sitting here differentiating between the hamburger and the steak and all these things, but in the back of the restaurant, like, you know, or wherever it's been cooked, it's like, oh wait, the hamburgers I'm allowed to cook, the Gentiles at the...
No, theoretically here.
You just speaking
anyway,
theoretically?
Yeah, Rome Postum say mutter. He quotes here that from Yaakov Kamenetsky. He has Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said Osir. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said Osir. He says, nope, I think the proof is very strange. The proof is, again, the egg smeared on the bread is not fit for Shulchan Malachim, yet it's Osir. That shows that anything that one type is fit for Shulchan Malachim, all types are Osir. That's very bad proof, Lachor, because the egg smeared on the bread is Olal Shulchan Malachim. It's on a good bread. It's on fancy bread. Okay, Lemaisa, he wants to make up Shara, which he doesn't have a mucker for in the classic Achronim, but he says that he doesn't have a mucker for in the classic Achronim. He wants to make up Shara that says, well, if it's a totally different way you're preparing, then it's mutter. But if it's similar to the way it goes on Shulchan Malachim, then it's usser. And therefore, he wanted to say, since potato chips are smaller versions of fried potatoes, and fried potatoes are a good side dish on Shulchan Malachim, maybe you take a potato and you make it to 10 slices and you fry it a little, then it's a good side dish. Potato chips are also usher because they're similar. I find both his premise and his application to be very, very tricky. Although he does say, someone asked for Rav Yashiv who usher potato chips, which I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, someone asked for Rav Yashiv usher everything. He has a Mefurish Tshuva Rav Moshe in the newer ones that were published posthumously, where he assumes that potato chips have an issue of visual akum without explaining. Those are also a little unclear how to find the svara between them. Lemaisa, he wants to make up shara. If you look in this RJJ article, Rev Rosenstein, he is a member of the Chicago Community Cola, or at least he was like 15 years ago. Rev Rosenstein says it depends, right? And he tried to like shake up the world. He tried to say, everyone stop eating potato chips. All potato chips are trinkets. They're cooked by gunyan, and they're just small potatoes. And sliced potatoes are all shulchan malachim. Sliced fried potatoes are all shulchan malachim. You cut a potato in 10 slices, you fry it lightly, and you serve it with a steak at a fancy chasna, even if you're a billionaire. And even in Buckingham Palace. But no one really bought that. They're like, no, everyone knows a potato chip is very different from potatoes they serve at Buckingham Palace. The mainstream halacha assumed by all the mainstream kosher organizations is, like wrote Poskim, is that no. If, again, this is not the same as Ches Lavram. Ches Lavram is, this food as you cooked it, if you dressed it up a little, could go on Shulchan Malachim. That most people are machmir. Most Poskim are machmir. You say, you know, this food, the potato chips, no matter what you do with it, won't go on Shulchan Malachim. But if you had prepared it differently, it would have gone on Shulchan Malachim. There, most Poskim assume Heter Gomer, and all the kosher organizations assume Heter Gomer. There are a couple of hashgachas in the world that are machmir of Bishul Yisrael by potato chips, but that is definitely not the minhag olam. You will find Bishul Yisrael potato chips once in a while, because they're machmir on this, but that's not the minhag olam. The minhag olam is that potato chips are not fit for Shulchan Malachim. The fact that if you had made them into a different kind of potato dish, it would have been Olal Shulchan Malachim, is not grounds to Aser, and we don't hold up Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you Aser across the board. There's also, I think he quotes Meshut Eimek Halacha, which is, I'm not sure, there's more than Meshut Eimek Halacha. one of them is Lamb's grandfather, who also Asered, and not like this Pshar he invented, that it depends if it's a similar way or a dissimilar way, and then go figure out what's similar and what's dissimilar, and why potato chips are similar to chasna potatoes is a bit of a stretch to me. Halacha L'maisa, we assume that, even though, and this is Pashut all of the Shulchan Aruch, right? Things made of rice that don't go Shulchan Malachim, because you made a mutter, even though other things made of rice go in Shulchan Malachim, right? Bisli is not a problem with Shulchan Malachim, even though you can make flour into something else, which would be Olo Shulchan Malachim, and so too across the board.
Yeah, that is
So all these questions, we generally are pretty, the post-war notes of the Hakel, you know, pretty broadly in Bishul Akum to Drabbanan, it's even a light Drabbanan, so there's no Iker in the Torah, unlike chicken and milk. However, if it's a question of where to draw the line, and you're just not sure where to draw the line, then you can't just say, I'm not sure how to draw the line, Sovigarban Lakula, you have to ask a posek who's more qualified. That's like Esher Levarer. The fact that I don't know where to draw the line, maybe that's because I don't know all the precedents, and I don't know all the acronym, and I don't know what to compare it to, but I should ask a posek. If the poskim don't know where to draw the line, then there's more grounds to be makel.
By definition, okay.
Okay.
Why by definition?
The Maisa.
You don't have any definition?
No, but the general assumption is that if you and I aren't sure how to make a judgment call on halacha, we don't say Sof Yerban Lekula, we pass it up to a big posek.
Yes, here it's because of the question that the things for tomorrow are not defined.
Correct. But nonetheless, the fact that I don't have know how to make a judgment call does not make Sof Yerban Lekula, that means I should ask a big posek. I think that's fairly makabel. Okay, that's what we want to say about Olal Shofar Malachim. Now, let us continue in the Shofar Aruch. We gotta speed up a little. Sif Beis. I'll reread the Machaber. Ear of Dover, Nechamo Shukai, and Dover Shein, Nechamo Shukai. If you mix something edible raw with something not edible raw, and contrast Sif Gimel, it means you mix them, really blend them together, and make one mishmash. Right? Ubishlam ha'obi gulcham, and the guy cooks them. If the ikr is the thing that has a chashash bishul akum, it's aser. If the ikr is the thing that's fine because it's edible raw, then it is mutter. And the Rama umutter lechal afunim. Oh, sorry, I forgot two other things from Sif Aleph. I apologize. C. Other heterim. What heter clearly did someone think was a good heter, but the mechaber's pasuk is not a good heter in Sif Aleph?
Sharon Briasa?
No, that's not as clear in the Lush. Okay, we'll take that. The Shach. Lo Nishtane Mi Briasa. Basically, it's one of these classic Shakravataria questions. When the Gemara tries to figure out what has Bishul Akum and what doesn't, they at first say, anything which has changed its form from when it grew, from when it was originally growing, has a problem Bishul Akum. Anything which didn't change its form has no problem Bishul Akum. In the end of the Shakavataria, they don't need to say that anymore. So the question is, if they say something in the middle of the Shakavataria, and then they don't need to say it anymore, they didn't explicitly reject it. That's always the question. They go, in the course of Shakavataria, says a certain suggestion. Never rejects the suggestion, it just becomes not necessary to explain the prices anymore. So do we assume any havliness suggested that's not explicitly rejected is kind of lahalacha, is still true, or no, anything was suggested because you need to answer a kasha, and then you don't need to answer a kasha, we assume it's not true. They only said it to answer the kasha, we don't need to anymore. That is a big machlokas. To answer a kasha, they suggested Bishul Akum only applies to things which change form, and we don't need to answer that kasha in the end. But is it true or not? So the Mechaber leaves this out, says the Shach, below his Mechaber, she nishtana, we also, your alma, this really, the filo nishtana, usher, that's a Rambam, chen does a Rav, darki Moshe, etc., that's a Vagos, if days, etc. Right, and the Shach himself disagrees. So here you have the Mechaber and the Ramah say, Usher, that's not a valid heter. The Shach says, Mutter, it's really not close to be shown. The Ramah says, not a heter, Rashi and Ran say it is. How do we know the Mechaber doesn't think it's a heter? Because he never says so. How do we know the Ramah doesn't think it's a heter? A, because he never says so. And two, because in Sif Beis he says, Mutter lechol afunin flugin shol obdek v'chadim v'chin akitni shukar n'arbishin. You're allowed to eat roasted peas or something like that of goyim, and likewise roasted chickpeas or something like that of goyim, because they're not olos shochem malachim, etc. Why doesn't he say because they look the same as when they grew? A pea looks the same after you roast it as when it grew. It doesn't change its form. So that shows he doesn't think looking the same as when it grew is a heter. The later achronim all agree with the Mechaber and the Ramah against the Shach. Even if something has not changed its form, that's not a heter. If it's edible raw, that's a heter. If it's not olos shofar lechem, that's a heter. But if it just looks the same as when it grew, but now it's edible, and now it's fit for shofar lechem, that is not a heter. Okay, good. I guess we could add the Rishonim if we want. If we want to add the Rishonim, we put the Rambam here. It's not the only Rishonim. And here we'll put the Rambam. Okay, one Rishonim aside. What else in Sif Aleph in the language of the Mechaber? is a heter that the mechaber doesn't like. But you see, someone had a hobby and they would like it. What? A Jewish kli. Well, that's obvious. It's a Jewish kli. It might be treif. Go on, two words. Ah, what about... what if it's in a Jew's house? What if it's in a Jew's house? In a Jew's house, says the Tosos quoting Rabbi Avraham. There's a Rabbi Avraham in Tosos, not the Rebbe or anyone else. Rabbi Avraham of the Bali Tosos is very obscure. He says, well, it's not going to intermarry if they cook in your house, only if you go to their house. And it's not going to feed you treif there in your house. In your house, where are they going to get treif from? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Avraham in Tosos, the Bala Tosos Rabbeinu Avraham, not any of the other Avrahams, says Mutter.
Isn't the Tzitzel Yezer also forced to say that this is Mutter because he says that you need both?
You would think, although he should. Let's just say he should be, although he doesn't. Uh-huh. However, the other Rishonim and the Mechaber and the Poskim say Usher. They reject this Heter. So even though Rabbeinu Avraham and Tosfos accept this Heter, or at least they seem to reject this Heter, we reject this Heter. Even in Jewish house, it's no good. And according to this, a housekeeper could cook whatever you want, right? Mutter, housekeeper's mutter. According, not just housekeepers. If a Jew has a restaurant, then the Goyish workers could cook whatever they want at the Jew's restaurant. According to Rabbeinu Avraham, everything's mutter. Great. I mean, not everything. You can't go to your Goyish friend's house. But it would be a big kula. However, we don't possibly get rid of a problem. The Mechaber takes pains to say even in Beis Yisrael, it's still usher.
Isn't this a
kula?
I was just going to ask if it ever functions as a tzad
l'chaim. We'll get to that too.
Something similar. Is this a concept of shifcha or ama?
We'll get to that soon. Okay. And sifdalet. You're both asking about sifdalet.
Why should it be different to the
multi-mortified pot? So I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Avraham would say about pot. What we learned about pot was not explicit in the Gemara. That was based on the Rishonim. So Kobi Rabbeinu Avraham would say pot also is, of course, partially to be both in the basis. Maybe you'd say the same thing to some. Yeah, I mean, you can't ask Kashmir for other Rishonim on what Rabbeinu Avraham. Okay, let's continue our month sif base. I apologize. You're allowed to eat the roasted peas. Again, I'm not sure if he meant the exact same thing that we do, but let's just call it that for now. But not in something similar. Of the goyim, likewise the chickpeas that are roasted. Likewise the minig is to matter them, meaning not only theoretically it's mutter, it's actually mutter. Except in towns where the minig was, right, what's the big problem with roasted food nowadays in modern-day kashrus? What's the problem with roasted things? You go and roast pistachio nuts, right? All pistachio nuts that we buy are roasted. I think they're not good to eat raw. So what's the problem with the pistachio nuts? They're not olo shechem lachem. You ever see them serve pistachio nuts in a main course or an appetizer? No, it's a snack, pistachio nuts. Or it's a garnishing. It's not. So what's the problem? The problem is, this is exactly the discussion. I spoke to many kashrus agencies about pistachio nuts, similar to this. Or you go on the street vendors. You ever in New York City during the winter, what's delicious to buy from the street vendors that they roast?
Chestnuts.
Chestnuts, right? The chestnuts. So chestnuts aren't olo shulchan lachem. You serve chestnuts in Buckingham Palace with a steak. No, chestnuts are also, they're snack food. You eat them around the fire, like have a warm, feeling. I'm not going to say what holiday to associate that feeling with. So the Hanukkah, warm Hanukkah feeling. So what's the possible shash in these things? So Rambam says all mutter, except in towns where the minug is, and when you oil, when you roast things, you have to smear the roasting pan a little so they don't stick. Right? You always smear the roasting pan a little. Except when they smear it with animal fat, with chaylev, then it's a problem. If they smear it with animal fat, then it becomes treif. So therefore, you have to know, if you want to buy chestnuts in New York City, you have to know whether New York City nowadays is a place where they smear with lard or they smear with vegetable oil. Now in New York City, the chestnuts people smear with vegetable oil because, like, animal fat oil is considered unhealthy.
You think it might actually be mutter to buy it from the?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Someone should check. Yeah, someone in the chestnut business. They use lard a lot less now than they used to in the old days. And, I mean, other animal fats, but well, they don't sell.
Should you ask them individually? Do they have any mnemonics? They don't know that.
They don't have mnemonics. They don't really have mnemonics now.
They only sell chestnuts. They don't sell anything else in it.
think so. Yeah. Meaning, I have no idea in other seeds they might have made something else, but that's already in a binyomo. Meaning, no, the guy's selling one thing. Okay. Now they sell chestnuts and hot dogs. No, 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 different carts. No, I don't have to look at it. I'm just saying theoretically. Why? It's been a long time since I lived in New York. And in Washington Heights, they didn't sell chestnuts. They sold... In Washington Heights, in the winter, they didn't sell chestnuts. They had the... they had the ice cream trucks. So either you believe that everyone in Washington Heights liked to eat ice cream all the time, all winter long, or you guessed what else might be sold in the ice cream trucks. And I'm going to leave that to everyone's imagination without getting into... I don't want to get...
I don't think we're putting this shirt up on what you
told. So, No, the stomach is just that people like ice cream. I like ice cream. I think people really like ice cream there. Yeah, and I would never say things like you said. Not nice at all. And besides, that's like clothing. Back to the Rama. So, again, the pistachio nuts, I actually spoke to people in the kosher agency industry, and I got different answers. Some people in the kosher industry said, pistachio nuts, some people roast them with trafe oil, so you need to have a hechsher on your pistachio nuts. And other people in the kosher industry, both in national organizations, told me, no one uses trafe oils to roast pistachio nuts nowadays. Therefore, you can buy any pistachio nuts even without a hechsher. I don't know who to believe. Okay, thank you. Right, if you're in a place where some people use trafe oil, then you have to, then we answer it, but if not, it's fine. And don't worry, Menachem says, obviously if you see them roasting chestnuts and hot dogs together, that's a different story. Same, you see the guy just the chestnuts. Don't say, well, during the summer, who knows, maybe he made meat there. Don't worry with the kalim, the stam named the yomon, because he already cooked it, and it's stam, cleave, a guy's not ben yomon, so it's mutter.
Even if we know that once upon a time,
Mistala once upon a time he cooked trafe. What are the odds a guy has a little cart with roasting and he never cooked trafe?
No,
but it doesn't matter.
It might be a dedicated cart.
We assume it's more than 24 hours ago, and therefore the chestnuts are so kosher. Okay. Any fruit that's edible raw, even if they totally change its form and they cook it and it gets mushed, they make a tashel out of it, it's still mutter. I mean, you might have thought it's only mutter if it's edible raw and still looks the same as when it was raw. No, it's like this lo nishtana. Even if they make it into an entirely new concoction, it's still mutter if it was edible raw. So even if the guy, you know, takes sugar cane, which is edible raw, and makes it into an entirely new concoction. Nonetheless, candy is also not olo shacham lachem, but it's also edible raw. Then it is mutter. Even if they take apples and make applesauce, it is perfectly mutter. Even if they take apples and make apple juice, it's totally mutter. I mean, not that those things are olo shacham lachem anyway. But if you come up with a carrot, even if they take carrots and they make a carrot kugel, which is totally different, but it's made of carrots, and therefore it is mutter. Likewise, they would eat in his days, they had some sort of tavshel they made from fruits, they would eat it. Gimel, we already read, right? Panada, shafo, kum, masura, filum, ishino, ketam, pas, akum, le shashuma, nasak, shuba, en, ishim, ishulay, akum, and nibbo, and pas. Meat pie, even if you're makel on the bread part, is usur, because the bread and the meat are separate layers. So the bread's not usur, but the meat does become usur, bishalakum. Once the meat becomes usur, then the gravy goes into the bread, and the bread's also usur. Likewise, if you would have a concoction where they would take carrots and what else is good vegetables that are good edible raw? Carrots and celery and cook them with chicken soup, right? Good example. Since the chicken becomes bishalachim because it's separate from the carrots and the celery. And the, I don't know, are zucchini edible raw? Okay, and zucchini. Not only cooked. Some people like to eat it raw, right? And kohlrabi? What? I don't think you put avocado in chicken soup. Okay, whatever it is. It doesn't bother me. Whatever makes you happy. So, even though in those cases you would say, what's wrong with cooking celery and carrots and kohlrabi and zucchini? But since you're cooking it in the chicken soup, the chicken becomes treif, because it's bishlak, it's a separate piece. Then, the gravy of the chicken goes into the vegetables and makes them treif also. Dalit. How can
blia of bishlakum treif something else?
That's a great question. We could talk about this now, but if you'll forgive me, I will wait to talk about it until closer to the end of the Siman, where we see the explicit machlokes we've shown him here. The Rebbe Akiva Eger just makes reference, I meant Achronim, to the machlokes Achronim. Clearly, let's just take our bearings. After Sif Gimel, we seem fairly confident that the Leos of Bishul Akko make things trace. Right? Seem pretty confident after Sif Gimel. Okay. And Bikoron, that's true. It just gets a little complicated in the details. Dalit. Yesh Misha Mater Bishvacho Shalanu. The Ramban says if our Shifchas cook, it's okay. I don't know how to translate because it gets a little tricky. Our servants cook, it's okay.
Why?
Ah, if we knew that. The Yesh Misha Oser, but the Rashva Asers. So what's the Pshara? The Pshara is Vafil B'dievin, sorry. The Ramban matters legamri. There was even the Chachilu. The Rashba asers even the Evid. Okay, there's a foreshadowing of the conclusion here. And that's all the Machaber says. Add the Rama, Shara, Va'uvi the Evid. This one, the Ramatirin. I will make up Shara. Le Chachilu, don't do it. And the Evid, it's okay. So the Shifcha is cooked. Again, we haven't defined what a Shifcha is and what the reason is yet. Le Chachilu, it's Aser to let them cook for you. But the Evid, you can eat the food. Let's read the rest of the Ramah. The rest of the Ramah is going to be irrelevant to us. V'afil l'chachila nogin l'hakal beis Yisrael. Nowadays, we're making even l'chachila the Jewish house to let the goyish sifchas cook. But why? For a reason that's irrelevant. Meaning the second half is clearly not relevant to us. Why? She'ashvachas v'avadim v'asim beis Yisrael. We're known to be making l'gamri in beis Yisrael even l'chachila that the manservants and maidservants cook in the Jewish house. Why? Ki yeshesh lo yetech and they abayis ma'ad. Because it's impossible that one of the Jewish family members won't stoke the coals a little. Right? But what does that mean? In their days, they didn't have gas ovens and they didn't have electric ovens. They had fireplaces. Or those, what do you call those stoves that, you know, those circular stoves that you put wood in? You know, they had wood stoves, wood burning stoves. And what do you have to do if you have a midurah, right? Everyone made a midurah last week. You light the wood, it lights on fire, it turns into charcoal, eventually it dies, not eventually, it quickly dies down. What do you do to make sure the fire still continues to burn?
Put on wood.
What? You could put on more wood, or you stoke the coals, right? You take a poker, right, you take a little stick or something, and you push it around a little, and that reignites the fire, makes it keep burning more, right? That's also what the bellows do, right? Pumping air is the same thing. That's what a poker. You ever go somewhere to the fireplace, and next to the fireplace, there's this, like, thing that looks like a sword, but it's not sharp, right? Which, like, in movies, you use to chase away intruders, right? There's also a famous philosophy story, but not for now. They call it by the fireplace, is not to chase away intruders. That's the later method. It was to poke the fire, to keep it going. That's called the Chatev Gechalim. Someone proved to me, based on Judaism, that in the old days, it was a very, very common thing that people all the time, when there was a fire, would stoke the coals to keep the fire going.
Zero Shabbos.
Shehiyah, right? You're not allowed to leave your food cooking when Shabbos starts, because you might stoke the coals. Again, to us, this doesn't make any sense. Because, like, why would I stoke the coals? You might turn up the gas. Why would I turn up the gas? I put it, if I want it low, I put it on low. If I want it medium, I put it on medium. If I want it high, I put it on high. Why would I change my mind? I'm not so fickle. Okay, in our reality, it doesn't make sense. It's one of those things that once they made Xera, they made Xera. But in their reality, it made perfect sense. Right? Everyone always stoked the coals. That was like almost an instinctive, natural thing to do. If you pass a fire, you poke it a little, because that's part of, like, being that's part of being in a household, that you keep the fires going all the time. So I don't think every single person does it every time. But certainly, the Rambam says, you can assume that by the time something cooks, at least one family members will once have stirred the fire, and that makes it okay. Obviously, it's not relevant to modern-day reality. No one has to poke any fires. We have electricity and gas, and we can cook normally. unless we live in Brus. But if we live in Brus, poking the fire won't help those burners. It is what it is. Okay, so forget that last part of the Rambam, right? Of course, if Chazal were alive today, it's pasha to me, okay? I don't want to be a reform rabbi. Reform rabbi would be if I actually said this is the halacha. I'm just saying theoretically. Chazal were alive today, it's pasha to me. They would not have offered putting your soup up when Shabbos starts on a gas flame because you might turn up the flame. What would they have offered instead? What would they have made you cover instead? The light switches in the bathroom. Right? That's what they would have said. That's the thing. Everyone turns it up and turns it down. And they don't think, they make mistakes and they forget a Shabbos and Ma'aseh B'chol Yom, Bava Nosenu Rabim. Okay, in my house we cover the light switch in the bathrooms. I'm not claiming that's the halacha. Okay, what Chazal said, they said, but they didn't. It's not up to each of us to make our own version of Judaism. But Mestama, that's what they would have said instead. Okay, but that's not relevant to now. Getting back to our topic. Well, we have... we don't know. Now, the truth is that there are two questions we can ask. The Shach is very clear. You can ask what the Ramban meant, or you can ask what the Ramban meant by the time we passed it. What I'm going to do now is, I'm not going to try and figure out exactly what the Ramban meant, because the Ramban sees them at one thing. I'm more interested in what the Ramban meant, based on the Ramban. Because the Ramban wrote the Haggadot and the Shulchan Aruch, right? What does the Halacha mean? But we'll also mention the Ramban. So, Trang? So the Shach here has four opinions as to what this Kula of Shvachos is based on. Why is this important question? Because we want to know if it's relevant to modern day reality or not, right? The first opinion, this seems to be shot in the Ramban, and this is the Derech the Gra takes. It's a little complicated, the Gra. The first opinion, the Shach, what is this? Heter Sif Dalid Heter of, what is it called? Shvachos Shalanu? Heter of Shvachos Shalanu. The Shalanu is going to be significant, perhaps. So, normally we say Shifcha in Rishonim. What do they mean by Shifcha? Shifcha Kananis! It seems in the Ramban that might be the best shot. The first shot of the shot is that it's talking about a Shifcha Kananis. Why is a Shifcha Kananis not a problem of Bishul Akam? What's the obvious reason? Because she's not an Akam, she's chayav mitzvos, right? The Shifcha Kananis has to keep Shabbos and has to eat kosher and... And we're not allowed to intermarry with them. That's clear. It's also to marry a shifcha. But nonetheless, they're not akum, right? They're what does the Rambam say? Yatsu mikol v'kachavim l'kol Yisrael l'mo. They're not yidden, but they're not goyim either.
It's not as they're just playing.
Okay. Okay. Good point. Shifcha k'nanis, and the svara is that they're not akum. I don't mean they don't worship idols. You know, I don't want to be misled. Everyone agrees this gzeira applies whether or not they worship idols, even Muslims it applies to. I mean, they're not goyim. Right? Now, you might say, who cares? We still don't want to intermarry.
Wait, but hold on a second. Could that also be a factor? Meaning, we're not concerned that you're going to wind up
intermarrying? Ah, hold that thought. Okay, hold that thought. Anyway, that's the first shot. The problem with that shot is that it seems to be the best shot in the Ramban. The problem is that can't be shot in the Ramban. Well, why not? Because they didn't have Shifcha Kananis in the time and place of the Ramban. I know it was before Abe Lincoln. There was still slaves in the world, but they didn't have slaves in Poland in the days of the Ramban. They had serfdom, but that was not for Jews. You didn't buy slaves in Bachaber's time, I think you did. But in the Ramban's in Poland in the 16th century, you didn't buy slaves. The Jews did not own slaves. They had housekeepers. But they didn't own slaves. They had workers who they had paid wages to, and if the worker wanted to quit, they quit and found a different job. Right? Like nowadays. So, it's hard to say this is Pshat of the Ramah. Right? As Pshat of the Ramah, again, as Pshat of the Ramban, it might be the best Pshat. But as Pshat of the Ramah, Dachuk in the Ramah, because he didn't have such things. So he's saying the minig is to be make up with Yevit if it doesn't exist in his country. Second shot is also Dach in Arma. I mean, the Shach knows this. It's not like me accusing him. That's why he has four shots in him. Because they're all Dach. Second shot is that... I just want to get it in order. The second shot is that it means Shifcha Schura, right? It means a worker, right? It means like our housekeepers. And what's the Svara? The Svara is like the Svara of Rabbi Avram. The Mechaber said before you don't go that way. A Kumi Drama is coming here to disagree with the Mechaber and say, No, but the Eved or Sorokh Amin or Avram, as the Shach says, that first shot is Sorokh Lom Dekoy Shvach Zmai Yom Chabi. There are Mamasoni Shvach that he didn't have. Or, Tzadol Amin Shish, this one, Dibu Antiyum Shalei Akil Kom Beis Yishol Budas Rabinu Avram. Bekach Kosev Darki Moshe Vim Yisr Beheter.
What did the Ramban say?
The Ramban sounds really, he was talking about Shevchah Knaas. About the Rabbeinu Avraham, I don't recall if he said anything, but Minastam, we would not assume he held the Rabbeinu Avraham unless he said so. Rabbeinu Avraham is a Kiddush. Anyway, maybe what the Ramban means is we can rescue Rabbeinu Avraham. Really, we give so much B'dievan to Rabbeinu Avraham. That's a great kula. Okay. And is that possible? Like, you'd think maybe he should have argued in Sif Aleph, but it's possible. Third shot. It's talking about even Shifcha Skura, which he had, but the Svara is E'etzar Shalom Yechata Echad Mibnei Habayis. That one of the Jewish family members must have stoked the coals. This is in which case, how would you read the Ramah? Isn't that the next part of the Ramah? You'd read the Ramah as, we're making the Eved because one of the Jewish family members must have stoked the coals. And really, we're even making the Chachila because of that reason. It's a very dark way to read the Ramah. It sounds like he's saying one thing and then he comes on. Here you have to say no. He's twice redundantly giving the same heter, first as a b'dievet, then as a l'chachila, without pointing this out. Very dark look in the Ramah. Okay, fourth shot. Fourth shot is also based on a lashon of one version of the Ramban. He says also, we're talking about Shifcha Skura, right? So what's the svara? Here's the svara that Alex was trying to say. The svara is, it's only chasnos if someone's being nice to you to invite you for food, not if you're the boss. Not if they have to follow orders. Following orders is not kirav hadas, it's not chasnos. You know, certainly Shmuley is British, he would say. You don't intermarry with the help. Shmuley would say, are you going to intermarry with the horse in the stable too? So, okay, we're American, so we don't think that way, right? We say Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, etc. But nonetheless, still, it's a different relationship. If someone invites you for a meal, so that's one kind of relationship. If someone is your worker, that's a different kind of relationship. And inviting for a meal is social. Worker is subservient. Relationship of servitude. He doesn't mean you own someone. Yeah, you don't need to go back before Abraham Lincoln. But he means you're someone's boss. You pay them. You don't own them, but you own their labor for however long their working hours are. A relationship of servitude has no kirav hadas. What's the lashon he uses here? He uses here, give me a second, hold on. That he quotes from a different shuv of the Ramban, that he has a lashon, that he says, or a different shuv of the Rashba, but he quotes the Yesh Omer, which seems to be the Ramban. That the lashon is, that they want to cook for you because of chasnas. But the servants who have to do it whether they like it or not, because we're their bosses, being Yitzhak, well, Yitzhak, aim is a kirav hadas. There's no kirav hadas. So that's his fourth shot. The svara is that Ha'oseh Bal Karcho Ein Bazeh Kirav Hadas. Therefore, the kirav hadas is a social, not relationship of servant.
Isn't that svara for every worker?
That's an interesting question. He's saying, what about by pot? So, and what about by pot? And that is a good question. It could be that if you hold from this svara, you'd have to go back and make over also.
So really, does include all workers.
L'chor, it should include all workers in a restaurant too. Right. You have an Arab works for you in the restaurant. This is not a friendly relationship like an Arab neighbor who, you know, in the old days in the 20s, when everyone tried to be friendly and go to each other's chasnas. No, an Arab works for you. You know how people treat the Arab workers in the restaurant? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, so now let's just summarize for a second. You see what the Nafkamina. Now keep in mind, the Ramah clearly is not making l'chachila. This is only a b'di'evit question. Right? It's only a b'di'evit question. Right? It's not a l'chachila question. It's a b'di'evit question. Right? The Ramah says b'di'evit, right? So what the psak? Psak is mutar b'di'evit. Question is that relevant for us? So according to the first interpretation, no, it's not relevant for us. We don't have slaves. They're post-Abraham Lincoln. According to the second shot, yes, if it's in our house, it is relevant for us. According to the third shot, no, we don't have family members who still close. According to the fourth shot, yes, what do you mean? We still have workers. So according to Pshatim 1 and 3, this is not a kula relevant for us. According to Pshatim 2 and 4, this is a kula that's very relevant for us. It means that b'di'eved, as long as it's a Jewish place, then b'di'eved is never a problem b'shalakam. This is a big nafkamina, right? Every Shana Aleph guy's dilemma, right? His parents don't know about b'shalakam, and the housekeeper cooks everything, and how can he go home and eat, etc. So the answer is, well, according to two pshatim in the shach, it's a big dilemma. According to two pshatim in the shach, it's not l'chachila, but it's still kosher b'di'eved. No, that's the second sentence. That's when you have... But that doesn't apply in modern day kitchens. We can't apply the end of our modern or kitchens. Everyone knows everyone doesn't turn up the stove. So, halacha lemaisa, all the achronim, different opinions as to which shah in the shah is ikker. The Taz thinks the second shot is ikker. The Gra is a little complicated, but it seems more like he's machriya towards the first shot. Halacha lemaisa, it's not poshut which shot of the shah we should follow. I think these are the only four pshatim floating around. I haven't seen a fifth yet. It's not pasha. A lot of people want to be machmer and to say, really, it's like pshat one, and therefore we have no right to apply this kula b'zman hazeh. However, certainly, nirali is daiti l'achria, that stam b'di'eved, maybe not so pasha to be mako. Stam b'di'eved, the housekeeper cooked a box of pasta that cost 79 cents, and you have to throw it out. So I would not be mako, even though... If you notice, the pshatim that are machmer are more dachak, the pshatim that are less dachak, the better pshatim are mekel. However, certainly, b'shasat tzorech, we can rely on one of the two pshatim that are relevant nowadays, and therefore, b'shasat tzorech, if something was cooked by a worker for a Jew, like a housekeeper, then b'shasat tzorech, we can be mekel b'di'eved, which means that, let's say, you have a Shana Aleph guy whose parents don't know so much about Bishal Akum, and they let the housekeeper cook, and he wants to know if he can eat in his house, based on this Ramah, he can eat in his house, and okay, so someday he should try to get things to work more l'chachila. But definitely, I mean, the only pshatim that makes sense in the Ramah say we can be mekel nowadays. And if Zev says that eliminates all b'shal akum, then I have no problem with that on a b'di'evid level. So yeah, therefore, certainly, if you need to, one can be mekel.
Is the gezir mishum chasmus mamish, or is chasmus lashon naki?
No, I think it means chasmus mamish. Although it's hard to tell, but b'ikr means chasos mamish. So it could be that everything that is not equivalent to chasos, but the ikr is really chasos. Because really the intermarriage that makes people, assimilate more than just a little znus, right? Meaning you can have very, very firm people who go to a goyish zayna, and that doesn't make them assimilate. But if someone marries a guy, then it makes them assimilate.
Would we say in the restaurant that there's like a Jewish chef, so the kula would completely apply?
So what if you have a Jewish restaurant, like in Yerushalayim? Every restaurant in Yerushalayim, I don't mean every, there are exceptions, but every restaurant in Yerushalayim is a Jewish restaurant. The Arabs don't own restaurants, I mean, in Jerusalem. I'm talking about the Arab kosher restaurants, right? Restaurants that we know of, that we frequent. They're all owned by a Jew, and all the workers are Arabs because they want to pay the minimum wage.
Yeah, but the chef is Jewish.
Being done with chafschus.
And
the boss is Jewish, right? And the boss is Jewish, and either way, the boss is Jewish. I don't care if it's a chef or just the proprietor. The boss is Jewish, and he orders everyone around. And according to this shach, even if they did bishul akum, it would be mutter.
I'm saying according to
two and four.
I'm saying even according to three. A lot of the if it's a restaurant that keeps continuously making food, you can make the flame high, make the flame low.
Okay, could be. That's more of a practical question, I'm not sure. Okay, by the way, this is another big tzad l'hakel. One of the big problems is, with the non-mahadran hashgachas, is that often they're not as makbid as they should be on Bishul Akum. Right, so the non-mahajan hashgachas, the mashgiach's not around so much, so there are certain procedures in place to make sure a Jew always lights the stove, but they don't always necessarily work. So, does that mean everyone's eating treif? So no, they have, Ikra didn't have a kula, because as long as a Jewish, I'm too bad Ashkenazim for now, as long as there's a Jewish restaurant, as long as a Jewish restaurant, then the workers are just taking orders from the Jew, trust me, he does not get too friendly to respect them overly much, and it's in a Jewish, and it's a Jewish-owned place, and therefore, b'di'eved, there's room to be mekel, so even if they don't do things the right way, l'chatchila, people still aren't eating treif, which is nice to know. They say from people who like know the restaurant industry that one of the biggest problems with the non-mahajan hashgachos is the bishul akum, that, you know, it's the kind of thing like, you know, buying the food, so they don't buy treif food. You know, it's like most of the food in Israel is kosher anyway. You get big distributors who distribute kosher food anyway, unless you really, really want to be lahachas nick. But the bishul akum is you have to remember to light the stove before they go and cook every day, and sometimes they forget, but it's not the end of the world because of this shah. So certainly, l'chachila, no one has a havin to be mekel. The Rambam is only b'di'evet. Even b'di'evet, it's not pasha to be mekel, because there's two pshatim in the shah versus two pshatim in the shah. However, certainly, when you need to, there is grounds to be mekel. Okay, so if, hey.
Do this
we'll get to Sfarim. We'll get to Sfarim. What? I'm not sure what the Sfarim posting would go so far, but we'll see some other Sfarim posting soon. Hey, Ogham Shabishal is Kavan the Bishal Mutter. A guy who cooks accidentally without Kavana is Mutter. Ketzad, Ogham Shahitzor Ba'agam Tehlahavra Chutzer. A guy who burns down a certain field in order to burn up the straw. That's what they would do at the end of the season sometimes. There's some good agricultural reason why they would do this. Then there were also kosher locusts in there that got cooked, but he did not at all think there were locusts there. He was just trying to burn the straw. And he accidentally cooked some locusts in a country where kings eat locusts. Harayim Lutarin, it is mutter, because he cooked it without kavana. When would this also apply, let's say? Minas Tam, I think this would apply. Like, let's say you had, like, the electricity went out, and some guyish worker came to fix the electric wires, and then he turned on everyone's stove again, and whatever, and maybe caused something to cook. So the assumption would be he wasn't necessarily thinking and realizing that he was cooking things, so it would fall under this head. Sorry, even in a place where kings eat locusts. Likewise, if he takes the head of an animal and he just tries to singe off the hair, he's not trying to cook it, like he's not making a real fire that would cook flesh. And what he's probably not thinking of is that the edges of the ears are cartilage, are very soft. Even that small fire that singes off the hair is enough to cook them. So Jews allowed to eat that because the guy wasn't thinking of cooking, he was just thinking of getting off the hair. I'm a little keen on the Shane Bishel. But if his kavana was for cooking, like, for example, he lit the oven to cook his meat. But your meat was also hidden in the oven. He cooked it. Even though he didn't have kavana to cook your meat, he had kavana to cook that meat. And he had kavana to cook meat A. And he also cooked meat B. That counts as kavana for cooking, and it's usher. So it's only mutter if his kavana was not to cook at all, but for an ulterior motive. If his kavana was to cook chefza A, and he also cooked chefza B, that would be usher. Even though he didn't intend to cook this piece of meat because he didn't know it was there, it's still usher because he intended to cook some piece of meat. The post, the Yosef Kaling on the slide point out, likewise, if he saw meat in the oven, even if his kavana was not to cook at all, if he saw the meat, that's obviously kavana to cook. So let's say an example would be he just wants to light the fireplace to get warm. But he sees you left a pot of meat there. That's obviously usher, because then his kavana is for meat. But if he lights the fireplace to get warm and he doesn't realize there's hidden meat there, then it's mutter. However, if he lights the fireplace to cook his own meat and he doesn't realize you also have meat, that's usher. So it's only if he doesn't see your meat and doesn't realize he's cooking your meat, and he also doesn't intend to cook his own meat. His intention is that he doesn't think of any cooking at all. Even if he knows there might be, but he's not thinking of any cooking at all, there's nothing in his face, then it would be mutter. Okay, there's not a common case that comes up, but maybe it could sometimes.
Does that mean that if a Jew prepares a dish and puts it in the fridge or in the oven and asks the non-Jewish worker to turn on the oven later?
Absolutely, usher. If a Jew puts the chicken in the oven and tells the Goyish housekeeper, in 2 hours turn on the oven, that's usher. Absolutely. Double kashrut. Yes, absolutely. When we say that it's mutter if a Jew puts the food in the oven, that means once it's already on.
I presume this doesn't apply just to the reheating.
No, ain't bishel or bishel. Then it's fine to ask the guy to reheat the leftovers. That's perfectly fine because it's cooked already. That's no problem whatsoever. You're allowed to ask to reheat the leftovers. Okay, so we'll finish up this siman at Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday.